your troubles and raise your cups. Here's to this moment, it will never happen again.
This is Offstage and On the Air performance number 846. My name today on this Wednesday, on this sunny and warm Wednesday, is Lisa Sheps. I am joined also on this Wednesday by my my co-host, Miss Nicole Shiro.
Hello.
You are listening to us on
KOOP.
Yeah, you are. You're okay. Just very meek and demure. You're listening to us on KOOP, HD1, HD3, Hornsby. Streaming live at KOOP.org.
Forget your troubles and raise your cup. Step right up, feast your eyes on the wonders of this world. Oh, yeah.
It is Wednesday, October 15th, 2025. On the show today, we have Jarrett Productions and their production of Mirror Lake. And later on, we're going to be talking to Forklift Dance Works. And their show, is it a show? What is it? It's an experience. The Way of Water, the Colorado River. And of course, we're going to have lively discussions of the world of theater in Austin, New York, Chicago, and other places. We're going to stop now. Yeah, timed with music that time.
You got it.
You didn't know because it wasn't going over the speakers.
It was not.
No, but I could hear it in my headphones.
It's okay. I was still singing the song.
You're bopping. I know. You're good.
I love that musical.
Me too. Tell their folks what musical that is.
That would be Hair.
Yeah. Well,
give me a head of hair.
Give me a head. Long, streaming hair.
Beautiful hair. Shining, gleaming, something.
Flaxen, full of bees. Flaxen, waxen.
Get me down to their hair.
Welcome. How are you?
I am okay.
You are about to go on an adventure.
I am. This weekend.
Tell us about that adventure.
I am heading to Minneapolis.
Minneapolis.
Why, you say?
Why?
Because I'm going to the pre-Broadway run of Purple Rain. That's why.
Purple Rain.
Yes.
Purple Rain. I don't
and
remember who sang that song.
I'm very excited.
I know you are.
Extremely excited.
I know.
I'm also going to do a little bit of Mary Tyler Moore because love me some
you've got,
Mary
are
Tyler
you gonna,
Moore.
Are you going to throw the hat?
I am. And we're going to make it after all.
I hope.
And then I'm going to the Paisley Park.
You know, I've met Mary Tyler Moore.
The VIP experience. Did you really?
Yes, I did. There's a whole story around that.
Oh, I love
she,
it.
She told me to my face that I will be a very successful, I think she said producer at the time.
I love it.
Because I was kind of being two-faced. It was a dig.
Was that a nice thing?
I'll tell that story at some other point.
And then I'm going to also see a friend of mine that works at the Guthrie, and it's a quick trip in and out, but it's going to be full of surprises.
The Guthrie, as our audience knows, is a Lort Theater in Minneapolis.
Yes, they have a wonderful theater section downtown.
Yeah, they've got a they have a very good
a lot of good arts going on there, but they have a wonderful theater section with so many theaters that are walkable within hotel distances and eating and food and all sorts of good stuff.
You know, some theaters are pretty...
And it's not too cold right now either, which is a good thing.
Yeah, because it gets cold there.
Yes, it does.
All right.
Mama doesn't like cold.
Okay, hey, why don't we introduce the people that are here waiting to say stuff and they can't
because...
Because
they're so excited. Because they were going to Purple Rain too.
I haven't told them that we're here. Welcome to Will Douglas. Hi, Will.
Hello, hello.
I said Will. Hi, Will. Hi, Will.
Hello, hello.
Oh, my gosh. You can say, well, Will.
Carolyn Cleary. Hi.
Hello.
Welcome.
It's Kira Lee.
Kira Lee? I wrote Caroline, so you're going to have to change it.
Caroline Kearley.
Oh, Kearley. Yeah. What did I say?
Kearley.
Not that. Okay. You have to speak into the microphone. Not that. Yeah, I got that. All right. Juliet Robb.
Hello.
Hi, welcome back.
Thank you.
And Brian Bradford. Bradford.
Today you're
not Brian Bedford. Brian Bradford.
Bradford. Yes. Oh my God. Oh, Brian Bedford is somebody though.
He is. He's from Bradford, England.
Is he really?
Is he really?
Oh my
yes.
gosh.
Did his parents do that on purpose?
Brian Bradford, you've been on the show before, haven't you?
I have.
Yeah. Because we've been around for lots of years.
A long time.
Dinosaurs. Hasn't it?
It has been. The last I was here was with Jarrett Productions. I was directing Seminar.
Oh,
right. Well, you
that's
can't make
right.
it this long.
That was 10 years ago.
Yes,
that was your first season, right?
Too long.
No, it was 2018.
Okay, never mind. It was 2018.
Still close. Too long. Yeah. Too long, Brian.
Exactly.
All right. So we start. You know, a lot of times when I mention folks that pass away, I say it's very sad, but they had a long life, blah, blah, blah. This person died too young. As we all know, Diane Keaton passed away. They haven't really said what she passed away of. I don't think she was ill. I hadn't read anything.
Oh, they said she was really ill over the last, an undisclosed illness over the last couple of months. She has declined in her health.
She was 79, which is not that old these days.
No, it is not.
Here's a, you know, I think I'd be silly to know. For those younger in our audience, I'm assuming you know who Diane Keaton was.
Yes.
Of course.
Yeah. She was by younger, idol. I wasn't talking about you, Will.
I'm still considered younger, I hope.
I know. Yes, you are. So here's a question. So we all know her for her films. Multiple Oscar winner, blah, blah, blah. Has she been on Broadway?
Yes.
Yes.
What was she in?
Don't remember.
Don't remember the name of it, but it was a Woody Allen play.
I will. That's true. Mm-hmm. She made her debut in Play It Again, Sam.
Play It Again, Sam. Mm.
Which was, and I'm going to ask you to get right when you talk.
Play It Again, Sam.
There you go. No, she was, we just listened to her sing a moment ago.
She was in The Hair.
She was in The Hair, and she sang Black Boys.
She did.
And that was her singing. That was her. I'm pretty sure that was her in the solo.
I believe it was.
Three actors that sang that song. But
yes, there's three women.
And then she actually went on to replace Sheila.
She did.
So. Oh.
Did not know that.
She has a crazy wild, like, you know, the popular things like the Baby Boom or the First Wives Club or the one with Jack Nicholson recently that my mom loves.
Something's got to give.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, are those like epic pop culture ones. But when you go down the rabbit hole of her career, you're like, whoa, she was in the pinnacle of so many things and moments happening from stage to screen. Like, it's wild.
She had a great deal of integrity. Here's an interesting thing. So everybody knows, if you haven't seen.
And singing, because she cut that album. She cut the song, the single with Carol Bayer Sager not too long ago. Who's one of her best friends?
When Nicole wants to say something, she just says it. Well, and everybody else has to be quiet.
In my head. So I was connecting all the dots.
I was going on the theme of integrity. And the show that we just heard, Hair, everybody, if you haven't seen it, you are, of course, aware of the famous nude scene.
Correct.
Which was very short.
That's 20 seconds.
Yeah, it's very short. It's really just a statement. I had assumed that was the entire cast in that nude scene, but no. In the original, anyway, there was a $50 bonus offered to actors to do it, and she said no.
Yeah.
So, integrity.
Good for her.
But this is actually towards the end of her obituary. I just got to find it. I thought it was fun. Let me find the quote. She wasn't crazy about theater. Oh, I can't find it. Maybe I didn't highlight it. There's a great quote in here going, why would I do 8 shows a week ever of the same thing? She wasn't fond of theater. She loved movies.
That's okay.
I think it's very okay. I think it's totally okay, but you don't hear that very often, right?
You usually hear
the opposite.
The opposite, yes. Because it's more a highbrow, right? I'd say.
I don't think it's because it's highbrow.
I think because
you're connecting with the audience and getting emotion, and it just seems more real and more true because it's not 10 takes later.
I think a lot of it is the rehearsal process. I hear a lot of actors who do film are like craving that like long rehearsal process.
Well, also, I mean,
a different thing with Connection that I was like, there's palpable feeling in a room where it's weird on set.
And also, film is a medium of the director. You know, really good director could take a mediocre actor and make them look really good. You cannot do that on stage. So there's
that's what they do now.
Here's what she said.
How many Instagram?
Here's what she said.
Followers.
Here's
do
what
have.
She
You'll
said. Here is what she said.
Won't be good.
It won't
What'd
be good.
What'd she say? No, those Instagram followers.
Oh my
people,
God.
Not good.
Will is laughing at us.
But Will knows I'm right on this one. But what did Diane say?
She explained her aversion to theater as a lifelong pursuit on CBS Sunday Morning in 2010. I can't do her impression.
Okay.
Night after night, doing a play, she said, putting in an imaginary gun to her head. That's my idea of hell.
Oh,
wow.
Amazing.
You know what? Strong on her conviction.
Yes. Correct. Yes.
So she also did, and I forgot about this till I read I knew about it, but I had forgotten about there was a film of Marvin's Room.
Oh, yes.
Which was actually the first play that I did here in Austin, Texas. And I was really excited to see the show. I have this thing when I direct that I don't want to see any versions. So I never saw the, I waited for the show to open before I saw the film. So it's Robert De Niro, Meryl Streep, and Diane Keaton.
You know, they maybe need to work hard to get somewhere, those
people. Those people.
What a terrible cast.
They could get there. But you know what? The movie wasn't good. They like let go of all the humor.
You know why? Sometimes that happens.
The Bob De Niro role in the play is really funny. And it's kind of the comic relief, in my opinion, because it's if you know the show, it's not the most happy show in the world.
No, it's like the reviews for Spider-Women. It's beautiful until J-Lo opens her mouth.
Oh, my gosh.
Wow. Okay. Anyway, we're gonna have to stop. We have to stop. So
I didn't say it. A reviewer did.
We're actually gonna talk about the review, the New York Times review,
I got more for
in which they didn't say that in the Thank Times review. All right, so let's move on to the next thing. Rest in peace, Diane Keaton.
I know that one was a bummer and kind of made me go, huh?
Yep.
I don't like that.
Okay, they've moved the clock, and I keep forgetting where it is. All right, so we have to talk about Dylan Mulvaney, and we talked about her last week, but her show finally opened up.
It did.
And I think, I don't know whether we had this conversation over, does everybody know who Dylan Mulvaney is?
Yes, mm-hmm. I had the opportunity to meet her.
Oh, you did?
Yes.
At what point in her career?
Well,
'cause
she's
had
several. 2 years ago, she showed up to my house. I was having a New Year's Eve party.
Here in town?
Yeah, and she had never roller skated before. And my roommate at the time was an avid roller skater. So we put her on some roller skates and sent her down the city
block. Was this before or after Bud Light Gate?
Oh, this must have been right before.
Okay.
Yeah.
So for those that don't know who she actually came to worldwide or nationwide recognition on the internet, showing her gender transition from male to female and being very active about it. And I as a trans person myself, and I think we did talk about this on last week's show, she was very problematic to me. And I think complaining or kvetching a little bit about her having a show in New York now. But it turns out that she had
told you this last week.
Yeah. So, it's true. So I had to.
But you thought I lied to you when I said she had a career the stage before her transition?
That is not what I'm saying.
You thought I lied.
God, you're okay. You and I are not speaking today. Anyway, so she has the show called The Least Problematic Woman in the World. It is a play with music, and it follows the publication in February of a memoir that she did called Paper Doll, Notes from a Late Bloomer.
I like the way you say memoir. Can you say that again?
Memoir.
Yeah. Oh, you said memoir.
Memoir.
That's fantastic.
Anyway. It is playing at the Lucille Lortel Theater, which I just love saying because I played in that theater when it was the Theater Delice. And I think Theater Delice is a better name. And I know I say that every time I mention it. But there it is.
Lucille Lortel would like to duke it out with you.
So I say this is a one-person show, but it actually has three other people in it. But they're all played by her on video. She's playing her angels. The songs were written by some amazing people. Abigail Barlow, who wrote the unofficial Bridgerton musical. Mm-hmm. Toby Marlowe and Lucy Moss, who, of course, wrote Six. Mm-hmm. Ingrid Michaelson, who wrote The Notebook. And Mark Schoenblick, who wrote The Devil Wears Prada. I mean, she's got a...
People are surrounded in
people
the
are surrounded, yeah. Mm-hmm. And the reviews here are most notably decent. I wouldn't say great.
They weren't raves, but they weren't
good.
Like pans. They were all pretty... decent, and they seemed to all like some good moments. There were some good moments that they all highlighted.
Yeah, so we don't want to spend a lot of time on this because we did spend all that time last year, and I couldn't remember whether they had that conversation off mic or on mic. Who wants to go see it?
I do.
Okay.
I'd go
Well, so how was she personally? Did you enjoy your time with her? Did you get any time to hang?
I thought she was so gracious and fun, and, you know, it was clearly, I think, a delight to be in a kind of disgusting, fun, indie house party in Austin, Texas, where no one really knew who she was, but I did. But she showed up in a floor length rhinestone ball gown.
Of course.
See, yeah.
This is where and I have a problem.
I will say it was phenomenal to see her interacting in my bedroom. That was like, you know, my bed was unmade and everything.
So she was at your house.
Yeah, totally.
Amazing.
Yeah, it was really fun.
And how did she get invited? I need to know.
My partner at the time was a cinematographer, and he had worked with her.
Got it.
Yeah.
Okay. Approved. Just in case.
She was very gracious and funny as hell.
Just in case you didn't want to know. Uh-oh, why can't I find... oh, there it is. So, I should say that the opinions expressed here on Offstage and On the Air are not necessarily those of Co-op, its board of directors, its volunteers, its underwriters, its people walking down the street, the people sitting in the desk, anybody here. It's just our opinions. That's all it is.
It's
our opinions.
Two things you're going to talk about.
We're not going to talk about anything all that controversial, but I am supposed to say that every show, whether we do controversy or not.
And
So what we are going to talk about is a union strike, which some people might find controversial. And actually, this has been going on for quite some time, and we haven't talked about it on the show before. But it appears that there's a good chance that the Actors Union in New York will go on strike, along with AFM Local 802, the Musicians Union.
Yes.
This will affect, if it happens, depending on who strikes and what. 802 has just sent out a vote for to approve a strike. That doesn't mean a strike is going to happen. It means that they have the ability to call one if the membership approves, and Actors Equity is about to do the same thing. They have both the production contract in Actors Equity and the AFM contract have expired a long time ago, actually. I actually have actual dates.
I was about to say, a while. I'm surprised at how long.
Musicians expired on August 31st,
yeah.
And the Equity contract expired September 28th. Here's something that I did not know. I learned something.
What did you learn?
So, Brian, you've worked on Broadway.
I have, yes.
Did you work under a production contract?
I did, yes.
Okay. So back in my day, or back what I thought was even current day, that all shows on Broadway work under a production contract, but that is incorrect.
Mm-mm.
So right now there are two different other contracts that are on Broadway. Mm-hmm. Some are always there. One is Lort. Is that the Roundabout, I think, is on a Lort. The nonprofit theaters are under a Lort
yes.
contract.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And the and Beetlejuice, and what's the other
Mama
one?
Mamma Mia are under touring contracts.
Touring contracts, which I think is crazy because the touring contract is awful.
So
sorry, I'm putting my foot down on this
because
one.
Because those shows are both on
right.
tour.
I know.
With stops. This is the new thing
oh,
they've
I know.
Been doing.
I
like,
know.
It was The Wiz. This is they're two of like 15. That have been happening the last few years, but it's actually on tour with a
right.
stop in New York for an extended
an
amount
extended
of weeks.
Stop.
A lot of those shows do extended.
I can know, but I made the assumption that once they did their stop in New York, they would switch temporarily to a production
contract.
Technically
still on a tour.
Yeah, I find that amazing.
Because they go back on the road afterwards. I'm not saying it's right or wrong. Because
that
saying...
touring contract blows. I don't know what the... I didn't realize that the nonprofit theaters were under a Lort contract because, you know, Lort has Lort A, B, and C. I would uh-huh. assume that the one on Broadway has got to be some other kind of Lort contract.
I don't think so. I think
it's a Lort A?
I think so.
Because that's also not very much money.
No, but I think they go higher than what is suggested.
Yeah. So.
Which I do know people in Lort contracts that do.
It's an interesting thing. I don't pretend that I know everything about everything. Both unions are seeking pay increases. We've had a really, really good year on Broadway.
Yep.
And the producers are saying, yes, but we're still not recouped from the pandemic. So there's a lot of yes, butting going on. Here's an interesting thing they're trying to do is that since the pandemic, a lot of actors have been citing illnesses and missing performances, mm-hmm. more so than pre-pandemic. Producers want to hire... Wait, Equity wants to require the producers to hire more swings. The league wants to tell them to stop calling in sick, which I'm ambivalent about. So I think it's interesting. And this also, I think I knew this but didn't realize it. It doesn't happen very often, but we all know that Broadway shows are 8 shows a week. But they can do 16 shows a week.
Yeah. Who had someone just had a 9-week last week.
And it's usually in conjunction with a holiday or something like that. It doesn't happen very often, but it happens. And they can do 16 shows and Equity says, okay.
Wow.
So they want to change that. So I think that's interesting. So any comments? Questions?
Art. It was Art last week that had a 9-week performance. Yeah. I was like, who had the
Well, there's only three actors.
I know. I was just, I was on the grosses today. That's why I was like, I read somewhere who had nine last.
I don't read the grosses. The grosses bore me.
Oh, Hamilton set another record. Like they could set any more records. I'm like, come on now.
Bore, snooze. No, I love Hamilton. I'm a Hamill fan. Speaking of nothing, I saw something on my TikTok feed. Was it on my TikTok feed? That I went, how did I... We must have known about this. This happened a long time ago. But back when the Tina Fey show on TV on NBC and Community was on, 30 Rock, Community, all those shows were on, they did a video to There Is a Brotherhood from How to Succeed in Business for NBC.
Oh,
and all the shows, I must have seen it, but and I was just, I was enwrapped. It's so much fun.
Yeah.
That's it. It's the end of the story.
We used to do that back in the day, all the 70s and 80s, all the different stars from all the different shows.
All these people singing.
They would do like a video for the season.
It was a promo video.
World, but they were all singing. So you had like the captain from the Love Boat.
Well, but these were all
James Brolin from Hotel. The Brady Bunch. Yes.
These were all the individual casts. So they would cut between the casts and then they ended, it was good.
I don't think I've seen that.
Yeah, look it up. I bet you can find it on the internet.
You're going to go down the rabbit hole of how many great season things we had with shows that we don't do that anymore.
All right, we're out of time, so I've got to go. I've got to choose what I'm going to talk about next. This is kind of a real quick one. I just saw the headline of this, and I bristled for a moment, and then I read further and didn't bristle as much. But the headline said, Latine, The Diary of Anne Frank. And evidently, this is a show that's been around for 8 years. It's coming back to Los Angeles. So immediately, as a Jewish person, I went, it's kind of appropriation, but it's not. It's a Latine version of Diary of Anne Frank. It's coming back to Los Angeles. It's starring, where'd it go? Emilio Torres and Genesis Ochoa. They will be Otto and Anne. This is adapted by Wendy Kesselman. It has been staged 7 times by 4, and it was inspired by a 2018 CNN segment about a Jewish woman in LA who housed a Latine mother and her daughters following the deportation of her husband. So there's a lot of overlap between what happened to Anne Frank and all the Jews of that era and what is kind of happening right now. So I'm intrigued by this.
Isn't that great when you see stuff? I love it when I'm so like, what? And then I'm like, oh.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, I agree.
Those moments in life.
Totally agree.
They happen a lot with me.
When somebody's actually put thought into something that on the surface seems like,
yeah.
Why would
you
do
even
that?
I like being wrong sometimes. Yeah. Even when like there's a show for years that you see is coming out and you're like, why? Awful, wrong. And then you go and you're like, okay, that changed my mind.
Yeah, for sure.
I totally get it now.
Okay. So. We've got to stop or else we're not going to have time to talk to folks. But go into offstageonair.com and see the things we didn't talk about. There was another, I had another same moment where the headline was about a performer that gets drugged on stage, actually gets drugged on stage. And I went, oh my God. But when you read what it actually is, it's amazing. So you can go do that. That will be my little tease. Starting tonight, we have a show previewing in the...
It's One Night in Bangkok.
It is One Night in Bangkok.
Yeah.
And that is Chess. That's one of the few shows I saw the original West End and the original Broadway.
They changed a lot of it.
They changed
Not
a lot of it.
Not the same show.
Yes. So...
I like that show. As bad as it is, I like that show. So I'm curious now to see what they did. And I love Aaron.
It's funny.
I love Aaron. So.
Of the two performances I saw, Broadway and West End, I liked pieces of the Broadway and pieces of the West End.
Very different.
And they did what what I liked about Broadway, they didn't take to the West End, and what I liked about West End, they didn't take
to
Broadway.
They'd like to do that, yeah.
So let's listen to I Know Him So Well from Chess. We'll be right back.
I'm surprised you didn't pick the last top 40 Billboard.
I didn't. I try not to do
that. Broadway song.
Oh, I try not to do that.
That's okay.
We'll be right back.
Wasn't it good? So cool. Wasn't he fine?
We are back. You're listening to Offstage and On the Air with Lisa and Nicole.
We never have short little PSAs.
No, we don't. That was very fast. I took me by surprise.
That was like Grease Lightning.
That was such a fun conversation. I wanted to keep going.
I know.
So can we just keep talking about general stuff and not talk about your show at all? All right, we're not going to do that. From Jarrett Productions and their production of Stephen Dietz's Mirror Lake, we have the producing artistic director of Jarrett Productions, Will Douglas.
Hello again.
All right, we'll see how I do here, Caroline. Caroline Kearley.
Hello.
Who is the director of the piece. And two, they're just actors. Juliet Robb. Hi, Juliet.
Hello.
Sorry, I'm a smart aleck. And Brian Bradford.
Hello, hello.
All right. Caroline, tell us what this show is about. I'm guessing it's about a lake that's very shiny.
You nailed it.
Good. Okay, thanks for being on the show.
That's it. We're done.
Yeah, this show is about a married couple and the lengths that they will go to show that they love each other.
Okay. Okay. That brings a lot of in. And
we like vague descriptions at Jarrett Productions.
Clearly, because and there's not a lot of other information out there on the internet about this show. So this is a regional premiere, correct?
Yes.
Where else has it been done? Will.
Chicago.
You said that with a lot of confidence. Probably good. Okay, Chicago. Yeah. Well, that is wonderful. And this is your first time to direct for Jarrett Productions.
Yes.
But not your first time to direct.
No.
No, because you come from somewhere. I forgot where.
I come from North Carolina. I went to UNC School of the Arts. Where
I call it UNC.
I directed a lot. UNC?
Yeah, that's what I call it. Nobody else does.
UNC.
amazing. So, do you have any kind of particular take on this? Was this show familiar to you before you took it on?
No, it was not. I read it for the first time when Will sent it to me and I fell in love with it right away. And I don't know if I have I guess there aren't a whole lot of other takes on the show that have been done. It's been an interesting process because there's not a whole lot in the script in terms of set or setting, movement, props. And so all of that we had to kind of find together and discover throughout the
process. That's always great. That's a director's piece.
Yeah.
So when we go see it, you know, we have you to give credit.
Yep.
She says confidently.
That was funny.
Well, since this hasn't been done very much, I assume, because like I said, I didn't see a lot of information on the internet about it. And Stephen Dietz has a pretty good connection to Austin. Have y'all been working with him at all on this production? Yes, Will, go.
I'll take that one. Yes, so we actually got the script directly from Stephen a few years ago when we were trying to find things to do during the pandemic that were small cast. This play was actually written to possibly also be played on Zoom.
Uh-huh.
And we just couldn't figure out how to do it that way. And then all of a sudden I thought, well, you know what? Let's just do it on stage. And we have worked. I know Caroline's talked to Stephen a little bit. And he actually came to our designer run. And gave some notes and thoughts. And that I think Caroline found very helpful. Because like she said, there's not a ton in the script.
Sure.
But yeah, we're very fortunate and very happy to have him. He's actually going to be at our opening night.
Great. Is he going to do a talk back?
He is not.
That.
You don't like
that. If you want to talk to him in the lobby, you can talk to him in the lobby.
I know, but it's
a good. So why would you want him to do one if you don't like him?
Because it's good for the production company. That's a good marketing thing. It's good.
She'll argue with you not to do them. So this is funny. Remember all this right now, next time.
So this is a two-hander.
Yes, it is.
I'm sorry. What does two-hander mean?
There are only two actors.
Yay, only two actors, and they happen to be here. We have 100% of the cast here joining us. And so, Juliet, tell us about your character and who they are.
Oh, yes. My character's name is Dinah. She's this vivacious woman who is so desperately in love with her husband. How could you not love him? He's wonderful. But along with that is, you know, the underbelly also of a complex marriage and their own pitfalls and struggles. I love her. She is anxiously attached. So it's a good exploration of that. It's been very... the implications in my own life have been devastating, but also illuminating.
So I mean, the last time you were on the show was for Betrayal.
Yes.
And that's another show about harried relationships or problematic relationships.
Yes. So this is my specialty.
So
apparently.
What's the next show we're going to see you on?
I don't know. Somebody give me a job after
we'll figure
this,
it
please.
Out. Maybe it's love letters. So, Brian, tell us about your character.
My character's name is Philip. He is particular, put together, reserved, a lot like me.
Okay,
I think there was a little bit of typecasting there. He thinks he's smarter than he is. Again, typecast. Doing what he can to keep their marriage alive and keep the love flowing.
Well, wonderful. Y'all are going to do a little scene for us, yes?
We are.
Yes.
Caroline, do you want to set it up for us?
It is the first scene of the show, so it doesn't require an introduction.
Okay. For the scene that requires no introduction, we have Juliet Robb and Brian Bradford doing a scene from Jarrett Productions' production of Mirror Lake.
We always celebrate our anniversary this way. Coming up on 10 years now, we keep doing it because, well... I actually love to talk about this. We keep doing it because we've come to expect it from each other year after year. I'm sure this year will be no different.
Our friends always ask two things. How did this tradition get started? And are there any rules? We answer them, or we don't. But every year, 10 years and counting, we go through the same process. We agree on a place to go. We pack in separate rooms. You will soon understand why. And then we head off to that year's destination by car or plane. We make sure to arrive the night before our anniversary. That way we can get settled in before the big day. And when the day of our anniversary arrives,
we scare each other. Yes.
We scare each other.
It's fantastic.
Usually one big scare each.
Some years there are more.
Some years one of us fails. Some years our long-planned, well-intentioned scare just falls flat.
Which is brutal.
Because if your scare fails, you have to wait a full year for the chance to do it again.
Those are hard years after a failure, that year of waiting.
We've never had a year where both of us failed. Someone always gets scared out of their mind. You think I'm kidding.
At first, our friends thought these were like, jump out of the closet, say boo scares.
I am not kidding.
These are not boo scares. These are the real thing.
We seek to induce fear.
We seek to terrify.
And we love it.
Oh my gosh. Wow, that's fun. That makes me want to see it. So I am assuming we are doing direct address at this point.
Yes.
There's a lot of direct address.
What does direct address mean?
Talking to the audience.
Yes.
Breaking down the fourth wall. I don't know. I've just come up with this thing where I throw something out and then I ask you to define it. This is new. This is new. I do have to. This is a non sequitur, or as we say at my theater company, a side tangent. You said, how did this tradition get started? For extra credit, what musical has that line in it?
Oh.
Dun, 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 dun.
Fiddler.
Dun. Fiddler.
Yeah.
Okay. What a fun scene that was. Does the show follow in that vein, the rest of the show?
Yes, it does.
Caroline, you are a person of few words.
she delivers them like the delivery is fantastic.
The delivery is fantastic.
Mm-hmm. There's a kind of mix of direct address. A lot of the play is direct address. Very centered in storytelling.
Mm-hmm.
I like to think of it as like gathering around the campfire, telling a spooky story, which is perfect for this spooky season we find ourselves in.
Yeah, it was like, it seems like very spooky, perfect.
The audience is definitely a part of the story.
We call that seasonal, Will. Yeah.
Seasonal. Very seasonal.
It's seasonal.
That's actually something we worked a lot in rehearsal, was when they're talking to the audience, when they're talking to each other, when they're talking to themselves. So there's a good mix.
Yeah, I have to go through that daily for myself. Pretty amazing. Is this a is this what we like to what we like these days? Is like a one act play?
Correct. Yay. No intermission, runs 90 minutes.
Wonderful. When do y'all open?
We open, our first performance is tomorrow, and our official opening is on Friday, October 17th.
Wonderful. And you play through?
November 2nd.
November 2nd. Where can folks go to get more information?
They can go to www.jareproductions.com.
Awesome. Well, thank you all so much for being on the show.
Thank you.
It was like a lot of fun. I hope I can get over to see it.
Yes. We hope so, too.
Me too. Okay. That was Will Douglas, Caroline Kearley, Julia Robb, and Brian Bradford. Bradford? My God.
I'll take Bradford.
Oh, gosh. All of Jarrett Productions' production of Mirror Lake, opening October 16th through November 12th, November 2nd. For more information, you may visit jarrettproductions.com. And I really had kind of a hard time finding the piece of music. I kind of thought that these two characters are sort of in two different worlds, trying to figure out how to get into the same world. So this is from Tarzan, of course. Two worlds. We'll be back. We are back. You're listening to Lisa and Nicole on Offstage and On the Air. All right, we're going to try to go as quick as we can through this next section because I want to make sure we have time for our last guest, which is Forklift Dance Works, who I just am very excited to have on the show.
I know.
I do. Why am I not hearing you? Because I think my head...
Am I off?
You are. No.
I am off.
The problem is that the volume in my headphones is really low when people are speaking, but really high when other things are happening. So I keep
when
turning
the music
them down.
Is jamming.
Yes.
Yes.
All right. The Biden porn. That's a whole nother thing.
That's all.
The Biden Payne committee announced the Biden Payne nominations for the 2024-2025 season. And I asked Will to stick around for just a little while because there were several companies that were nominated, but there were kind of two companies that led the pack, and Jarrett Productions was one of them. So congratulations on all the Biden Payne nominations.
Thank you very much. We're very excited.
Yeah. So you three shows were nominated.
All three shows of our season were nominated or received at least one nomination.
That is amazing. How does that feel?
It feels spectacular.
Had that happened for y'all before?
I can't actually recall if I don't think so, but it was definitely a historic year for us. It's the most nominations we've received for a season.
It was great. I was sitting actually right next to them, and it's like, Jarrett Productions. So I was really, really, really happy for you. And Jarrett Productions did some really good shows this year. So it'll just keep getting better and better and better. I'm not going to go through all the nominations because there's about 150 of them.
A lot.
Yeah, it's a lot.
But I'm going to rant for just a little second. I love the Biden Paynes. I think they're great. I'm honored to get them. But there's some they keep adding categories. And the thinking is correct and loving and dear, and yes. I love the thinking, is we have a lot of hardworking artists here in Austin, and we want to recognize them all.
Right.
But when it's a competitive kind of award situation, there's some awards, and I'm sure I'm only going to tackle a couple that I have awareness of, that I don't know how they adjudicate, how somebody sitting in the audience could possibly judge. One of those is stage management, because I am a past stage manager. How somebody in the audience can look and go, oh, that was stage managed well. Because in my book, as a stage manager, if you notice the stage manager, they are doing a bad job.
Correct. Right. Yeah, no, I get it.
So I guess they just look at
Number of cues.
What's the complexity? So that's one. Then they added TD, which is the same kind of deal.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You can't tell how that TD performed the job.
You don't also know what technical stuff went wrong and what that TD had to solve or not solve.
Yeah, for sure.
And then another one that didn't dawn on me until last time, because I thought, I get the award, but dramaturgy. Dramaturgy.
How do you know?
How do they know what those conversations were about? Yeah. Yeah. So I just I find it.
So then it becomes inside baseball.
Well, we all know about the Biden Payne Awards, and a lot of them are inside baseball.
Uh huh.
Yeah. So, but I say all this with loving criticism.
Well, and the intention is, like you were saying, is good.
Because these people don't get recognized.
Yes,
TDs
for sure.
Never get recognized.
For sure.
Right.
And this is me talking for me only. As a stage manager, I don't want to be recognized.
Uh-huh.
But I thought that's interesting. I will say the Forklift Dance folks are here. We haven't introduced them yet, but they're nodding. So I'm going to thumbs up you guys. That's it. So Biden Payne, the actual award ceremony on November 3rd. So if you would like to come and hear them go, and the winner is Jarrett Productions, go on over to the Scottish Rite on November 3rd. It's a lot of fun. And obviously, if you are on the mailing list for Biden Payne, you are, bam, a voter. You can actually voice can be heard, which I also have mixed emotions about that particular thing as well. But I won't go into that rant.
Yeah, it's a lot of trying to do good, but it's a lot of all of it over the place, and this doesn't make sense with that.
And so I'm impeccably honest. When you go in there, they say, did you see this? You can't, in theory, you shouldn't vote on a show that you didn't
correct.
See. But everybody does because their friend
for
was
sure.
in it.
Correct.
In a community
so
this size
a
and this, like, yeah.
contest
yeah.
sometimes versus the work.
I don't. I only vote on the ones I've seen.
But,
which
there
is,
are strange birds
which is,
like that,
which
though,
is
Lisa.
Unfortunately few because I have very little time
but
together.
We're strange
well,
birds
you're producing a lot of
all right, let's get moving so
you
we can get
start?
To our...
You want me to start?
You start.
How are we going to start?
Here's what's going on. New, now, or soon
now
to open.
Now playing and soon to open. Okay, we're going to start. Austin Playhouse House... Blah, blah, blah. Austin Playhouse has two shows going on right now through the 19th. One, The Importance of Being Earnest, with that good old Oscar Wilde, and the sweet little play, The Heart Sellers, going through both on the 19th.
I need to do a commentary to that. I was told by a good friend of mine who I trust... she said, you need to go see The Heart Sellers.
Yes.
And I said, oh, okay. No, Lisa, you need. And she was very insistent. She said, remember when I told you to go see A Strange Loop? And I went, yes, because Strange Loop
was
amazing.
Did you go see The Heart Sellers?
No, I want to see it.
Yeah.
Anyway,
Sarah and Alexa and Ben Wolt directed it. It's a great little show.
Yep. So that's.
One of the best produced
this
year.
That Austin Playhouse just might. Go somewhere.
Go somewhere. And that's in their studio stage. Ernest is on the larger stage.
Yeah, you don't have to climb the stairs.
No.
City Theater has To Kill a Mockingbird playing through October 19th.
We've got Georgetown Palace in the Heights through November 2nd.
Holy shmoly!
You got to say it this week.
What?
You got to say it this week.
Oh.
It's fun to say.
Holy shmoly is playing Apprehension through November 1st.
At the Hyde Park Theater,
thank you.
John Bollinger and his Salty Bananas through the 26th of October at Sterling Stage.
This is your last weekend to try to go to the Curtain Theater. The Barrensman is playing Much Ado About Nothing. After that, the Curtain Theater shuts down. You have through October 25th.
La Fenice with Speak No More, October, playing now through November 2nd.
Jarrett Productions, Mirror Lake, first performance on the 16th, tomorrow through November 2nd at Trinity.
If you haven't got your Ernest on, you can also catch it at Austin Community College from this weekend, the 17th through the 26th.
Alchemy Theater's got Night Mother playing October 16th through the 26th at the Wizen Hunt.
Austin Rainbow Theater has their Sagittarius Ponderosa this weekend, the 17th of October through November 1st at the Ground Floor Theater.
And they have built a forest inside the theater. It's pretty amazing.
Because it's a Sagittarius Ponderosa.
I know. Bottle Alley Theater has the Last Seance of Harry Houdini playing October 23rd through 11 for November 2nd at Flower Hill Center.
And then Penfold Theater is doing Rosita and Conchita. And this is different than Scottish Rite. This has a Ballet Folklorio Round Rock with it, with a whole bunch of choreography. And that is just October 25th and 26th.
And we're just about to talk to them. It's Forklift Dance Works, The Way of Water, The Colorado River, playing October 18th through November 8th. Auditions that are available, Rude Fusion and Rude Mix have A Bad Influence on October 19th. TexArts has, that's at Zach Theater. No, I don't know what that is. I think I just have Zach as a holdover.
Okay.
Ignore that part. TexArts has Beehive November 10th And Leela, the uninvited guests, their auditions are tomorrow on October 16th. And today in theater history, we can go really quick because I want to have a whole bunch of time.
Gonna tell you.
To talk to Forklift Danceworks. I don't know what's happened to Playbill. The graphics.
There were
don't...
shows in there where people born. Some people died too.
Okay, here it is. Shows. The Rose Tattoo opened in 2019.
See, I said shows open.
Bye Bye Birdie. Revival, 2009.
Oh, is that the Tommy Tune revival one?
Golda's Balcony opened in 2003. The sign in Sidney Brustein's Window with Rachel Brosnahan. This is the original, 1964. And Time of the Cuckoo. Cuckoo! Opened in 1952.
That seems like the theme song of my life.
Birthdays. Linda Lavin.
Oh, Alice.
Paige Davis, who I knew when she was Mindy.
She's now really technically Paige, if we want to get technical.
Correct. She's Paige now. She's been Paige for a while.
I know.
Gavin Lee. Fela. I'm not going to try to pronounce his last name. Who had a show on Broadway?
Yeah.
So we are going to go out listening to a song from that.
Fela.
It was called Fela.
Yeah.
And this is Rain from Fela. And this is what's her name? She was in Hadestown.
Ava?
No.
Oh, Persephone.
Yeah, what's her name?
Amber Gray.
No, all right, never mind. Here she is, though. I know everything. We'll be right back.
Let the battles rage. Let the demons cry. Let the mothers weep.
We are back. You are listening to Offstage and On the Air with Lisa and Nicole. I'm just going to jump right into our interview because I'm very excited to talk to these folks.
I know.
We have founding artistic director of Forklift Danceworks, Allison Orr, who was last on this show probably 15 years ago, maybe?
Good afternoon.
I think so. Good afternoon. Welcome. We have the producer of this. And Lisa Bird, you've been on the show before, haven't you?
Many, many years ago.
Yeah, because I haven't seen you in a while either.
Today is familiar and old faces we haven't seen in a while today, the whole show.
And Scott Morrow, who I don't know. But you're the operations manager of distribution for Austin Water.
That is correct.
It's because of you that I am no longer thirsty.
That is correct.
That's a great way to put it.
If you were a housewife, that'd be your tagline.
That's great.
So this show is called The Way of Water, the Colorado River. First of all, thank you for calling it a river.
Yes.
That's the key to the whole performance. That's it.
Amazing. Good.
It's a river.
It's a river, not a lake.
It's a river, not a lake. Allison, tell us about this show.
Yes. Well, we at Forklift have been working in communities around water and with water issues for 5 years now. So we actually started here in Austin working with watershed protection around our increasing risk of flooding. Working both in Waddle Creek and in Onion Creek. I've been working in El Paso. We just finished a big project in Miami with Miami-Dade County, which Miami's got some water issues. And now we are so honored to be working with Austin Water and other community partners to make this show about the Colorado, our central Texas Colorado, our dear Colorado.
Yeah, I have a confession to make. When I first moved to Austin, I was pretty sure that the Colorado River started somewhere and ended in the Grand Canyon.
Really? It went opposite.
Didn't make sense to me, but how could there be two major rivers with the same name? But I've since learned the truth.
There you go.
So that's amazing. This show is done in three parts. Actually, I want to talk about so much.
Yes.
Lisa, did you come up with this project to produce it?
I did not. I like to say that even though my title is that of producer, that I'm actually Allison's enabler. So it's I want to do this thing about the Colorado River. And so as Allison said, that Forklift has been really focused on water, and not just water, but water in the sense, and you can tell my Yankee because I said water.
No, it's good.
Yeah. Water in the sense of how it climate change, the changing climate is impacting our communities through water. So the conversation, so we're engaging in this conversation through water. And so, again, as Allison said, we've been in a number of communities in Austin the question that can be around flooding, it can also be around drought. In Miami, we talked about flooding and sea level rise. And in El Paso, of course, we talked about drought.
Great. Well, and Scott, what is Austin Waters' role in this particular production?
Well, in this production, when Forklift Danceworks approached us, we saw an opportunity where we could show our water warriorness, if you would, when we're out there battling those leaks and making repairs to that distribution system. You know, one thing that's important is water is not an infinite resource, and we all need to be good water stewards out there. So turn off the faucet when you're brushing your teeth, you know?
I do that, by the way.
It was a great opportunity for us to kind of showcase and show the community what we're doing out there to help protect that vital resource.
So do you have fun, like, if the performers are in the water, like out at Mansfield Dam, and you just real quick, like, open up the valve for a second?
Yeah, no, we don't do that. That's not a good thing. But we do find ourselves working in water quite a bit.
So
you'll see.
I like the response of no, that's not a good thing.
So this particular show, well, I guess I should say that we, by dint of the name of the organization, Forklift Dance, I think the first one you did was basically dancing forklifts, and you've done
the first one was with the fire department,
right?
And but yes, the trash project is one many people know.
So that's kind of what your organization, in my opinion, is known for. Are there boats? Is there equipment involved in this?
Yes, or
is
it... yes.
Okay.
And so, like Lisa was saying, the way we've been working on this project with water is engaging the city department, the frontline personnel, but also the community experts. And so it's going to be a cast of nearly 100 folks, including Austin Water utility personnel from all sectors of your utility, along with Austin Youth River Watchers, birders, fly fishermen, scientists, and so it is a big project. And the reason that Lisa and I, as we began thinking about this, decided it needed to be in three parts, because the story is so complex. And I mean, not even in three parts, and not even in, can we even get there? We need, you know, 30 years or something. Our relationship with the river is challenged. It's precarious. It's vital. And it felt like there were so many important stories to tell. So we're doing this in three parts. There's three different experiences that all contribute to each other. And yes, there will be big equipment, but there will also be other stories and movement that help kind of the audience members understand relationship to the river.
Will I, as an audience member, be involved, or will I be observing?
Oh, yes. So I'm going to turn that to Lisa.
Yeah, well, we start on Saturday at Laguna Gloria, and instead of the usual theatrical experience where you're kind of passively sitting and watching, we're asking you to walk around the beautiful grounds of Laguna Gloria. So we have set up kind of the structure of it is a scavenger hunt. And so you will go.
I love me a scavenger hunt.
Yeah, all right.
You're going to love this. So you're looking, in this case, for theme performances. So you'll go from place to place looking for these theme performances. We will continue the scavenger hunt over time. So you can download the scavenger hunt. Kate Murray of Unfine Arts has designed this beautiful scavenger hunt that you can do anytime between October 18th and November 8th, when the final performance will happen. And it will take you all over the city. You will learn a lot about the Colorado River, not just the river, but the communities that have been impacted.
That's so cool.
It's so cool because that, you know, the Colorado River, whether you call it a river or a lake, it's part of Austin's life. And then, of course, water is part of human life. I mean, there's just so much. And I love that you're doing that. I wish we could talk forever. We're running a little bit out of time. Can I see one or all of these performances?
You can see all of them. October 18th at Laguna Gloria, free reservations on and then the scavenger hunt also. And then Scott and his team, along with many water utility employees, will be performing at Hornsby Bend November 6th, 7th, and 8th. And that's the big, big show, the big forklift spectacle. Anything you want to say about that, Scott?
I don't know if I want to give it away, but we will be doing an actual live leak repair out there so everybody will get to see what we're doing underground when they're driving by us. So it'd be great to see everybody.
That is amazing. So I should say that the three parts are called source, currents, and confluence.
Yes.
And does confluence just indicate that we're bringing this all together?
Yes,
and we're gonna fix our broken world and all be friends and family, and the Republicans and the Democrats will start talking to each other?
Absolutely.
Kumbaya.
Yes.
Amazing. Well, thank y'all so much for coming on the show. I really, really appreciate it.
Thanks
for having
us. Great to be here.
Wonderful. Was Allison Orr, Lisa Bird, and Scott Morrow of Forklift Dance Works, The Way of Water, the Colorado River, October 18th through 8th at different times.
Location.
For more information, you may visit forkliftdanceworks.org. I didn't ask you that, but I'm assuming that's right. Wonderful. And we don't have any time to do anything else. I will say what people are going to miss, what I was going to play walking out, was Gavin Creel. There's an album that just came out with him singing. It's called The Journey, Walk On Through, live at MCC.
Nice.
People might want to just go check out that. It just was released and it's beautiful. And of course, we know we lost Gavin
just a year ago.
Recently, so
like in the last few days. Today.
So we're all done for now. We're going to learn what's new next with Tracy Schultz. He's going to tell us
what's new.
In the meantime, we're going to walk out with what I was going to play as Forklift Left, which is from Urinetown, I See a River.
Yes.
Okay.
We'll be back next week.
We'll see you next week. Bye, everybody.
Ciao.
Sisters and brothers fight for the river. Fathers and mothers. Babies too. All in the family push toward the river. Shove.